Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Paul Creer, and it's my privilege to be with you this morning. Friend Lucille is on holiday just for the weekend. So they will enjoy the time off. Thank you for your time and thank you for coming, and we really trust the Lord that we will all leave here changed by the power of God. Let's just pray together before we start. Father God, we thank you this morning, Lord, for that amazing gift that you gave us, your Son Jesus Christ. And Lord, this morning we just come here, Lord, to honor you for your faithfulness, for your obedience, Lord, for your death, but also, Lord, for your resurrection. And we thank you that we can be here this morning, Lord, with hope in our hearts, Lord, with life, because of you, because of the blood of your Son, Jesus. We worship you this morning, Lord. We thank you, Lord, that, yes, Lord, that we can be the light to the world because of you. Thank you for your hope and your salvation, Lord, this morning. Thank you, Lord, that we can sing and speak of your joy, Lord. We worship you. Thank you for bringing us together this morning, Lord, as a body, Lord, as a family, Lord. Thank you that through your broken body, Lord, we can be made whole, but we can also walk and live in unity, Lord. We bless you for it this morning, Lord, and we pray that as you share with us your word this morning, Lord, that your word, Lord, will bring life, will bring light, will bring understanding. In Jesus' name, amen. I just want to pick up from where Fred and Lucille basically ended last week. Fred mentioned about, he spoke about our walk and us knocking and asking, searching in our relationship with God, and in that process, and how when we are led by the Spirit and His leading will lead us by grace into the truth and into the fullness of God. And it's an ongoing process. And there's always grace for us in this. And Lucille spoke about the delicacies, the things that people hold before us with which they want to lure us and draw us. And this morning I also just want to touch on that, but delicacies maybe not from people, but the world out there and in our lives still, and even our delicacies that the devil will hold before us this morning. This morning I just want to speak about our souls in relation to our whole being. Focus on the soul and just see the amazing work that Jesus did on the cross. We as beings were created. When you were born as a human baby, you are born with a human spirit. You are born with a soul and obviously with a body. And I just want to take a look at that and specifically look at how the soul and the spirit operates and how the one wants to lead us to delicacies and into the world most of the time, and how the spirit wants to lead us into life and into victory. So the message is called Victory by Grace. 1 Thessalonians 5:23 reads, "Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely, and may your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ." Paul is speaking here to Christians, to you and me, and he says, listen, it's going to be a process. And I'm praying for you that when Jesus comes, your whole spirit, your body, and your soul will be blameless. Okay, so there's hope for us. I mean, many of us live in bodies that we don't really want at this stage. The scripture says that there's salvation for our bodies, for our souls, and for our spirit. And we, I don't know about you guys, but when we come to salvation, we need to focus so much on the spirit and the spiritual. Many times we neglect the rest of the composition of us as a being. And the salvation work that the Lord wants to do in our lives. And this morning we can just relax and know that on the cross, Jesus dealt with all of that. And there's grace and there's hope. And when we look to Jesus and to the blood of Jesus, there's salvation for everything that will stick out its head at some stage in our lives. And I had a recently powerful experience just encountering my soul in a very powerful way that I haven't in years. I did that a little bit later, and that actually got thinking about this and praying, and the Lord just revealed the scriptures and few truths to me that I want to share this morning. In Hebrews 4:12, it says, "The word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit and of joints and marrow. And he is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart." The division of soul and spirit and joint and marrow. Spirit, soul, and body. I want to make a statement, like Paul said in Scripture, it's me speaking and not God. This isn't the word. So this, I just want to make a statement and say that I believe that many times, or there's many people out there, many of us relate to God with their soul instead of their spirit. Before we are born again, we'll get to all the definition and the detail just now, but before we are born again, your spirit and soul is kind of interwoven, linked. I don't know if you know the wood of a eucalyptus, the flowering eucalyptus tree, bloekomboom, the specific one, the flowering one. If you look at the grain of the wood, it's interwoven like that. You can't chop that tree down easily. You can't split the wood because the grain is interwoven. And as non-born again beings, our souls and our spirit are so interwoven that we many times relate to God and engage with God with our souls instead of our spirit. And we'll get to the detail just now about that. I believe it is because of ignorance and just people not knowing. And if we don't change and focus on the spirit, I want to also say that there's salvation, like we read this morning, for our souls. There's salvation for our body, and there's salvation for our spirit. So this is a growing process, a process in which we grow. So things will change, but many times we start off there, where we relate and engage with our souls and our minds, with our will and emotions to the spirit, thinking that it's spirit. Many times people are just ignorant and say, "Listen, but I don't understand the Holy Spirit. I don't know about that, so I'm not going to go there." And I believe it's fatal for us personally in our relationship with God, and it's fatal for the coming of the kingdom, for the establishment of the kingdom of God on earth. It's very important that we understand that the Spirit is much more than just thoughts or knowledge, imaginations, emotion, sensational pleasure, desires. That's part of our being, but the spirit is much, much deeper than that. And I believe that we not only need to know that we possess a spirit, but we must know how the spirit operates. What's the laws of the spirit? What's the power of the Spirit? How the Spirit operates. In Romans 1:8, verses 1, it reads, "There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. So there's a choice. We can either decide to walk according to the Spirit or according to the flesh. And that scripture says, listen, if you choose to walk according to the Spirit, you might not walk according to the Spirit at all times, but if you choose to walk according to the Spirit, it's a process. It's a growing process. You might miss it now and again, but if you choose to walk according to the Spirit, there's therefore no condemnation. But if you choose to listen, obey, and walk according to the flesh, you might experience condemnation. Okay. When people are not born again yet, they don't realize that their spirit is dead. And they relate to their soul basically as their spirit. And this can lead us down a wrong path in a sense. And I believe, and I've experienced in my own life, that this can actually continue after you've actually been saved, after you've been born again. But like I said, there's hope, there's salvation, there's grace for us. When we're on that path, we can even fill ourselves with Bible knowledge and feed your soul. You can do good things, and they're called dead works in the world, in the Word, because it's soul and not spirit. It's dead works. You can have deep emotional experiences, which is not in the spirit, but in the soul. So that can actually lead us to be a little bit deceived and think that we're growing spiritually while all the time we're only feeding the flesh. Okay, that's the bad part of the message this morning. The good thing is, how do I get it right? How do I do it? I think if we start off and we walk humbly before our God, if we say, Lord, I want to walk according to the Spirit and not the flesh. Holy Spirit, show me. God, reveal your word. Then I believe you're in a safe place. And yes, in our growth, in our walk with God, we might still make mistakes, but there's growth because God looks at the heart. That song of Matt Redman, just reminded of the words that says, if my food, Lord, is to do your will, then I'm hungry, so hungry. And if that's you, then you don't need to be scared that the devil will deceive you or you will be end up being a selfish Christian. You won't, because your heart is after God. And it's a process for us to learn and to grow in walking in the Spirit. The Word says those that walk in the Spirit are called the sons of God. If you walk in the Spirit, you will not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. There's a whole heap of scriptures about walking in the Spirit. But it starts off with us just knowing that this being consists of more than just my spirit. I'm spirit, soul, and body. And God has called me to reign, like Fred's scriptures about us reigning and ruling. God has called you to reign on this earth, to reign over your own being. But there's different dimensions to our being, which we need to reign and rule over. And we grow in that as we walk with the Lord. How do we get to a place where we actually need to do all this while the scripture says that we were created in the image of God? Okay, so we'll go back to Genesis right in the beginning. And we see that Adam sinned, like we all know. Romans 5 verse 12 says, therefore, just as through one man sinned into the world and death through sin, and thus death spread to all men because all sin. Because of Adam's sin, scripture said death spread to all men. And that's why we need to be born again. Okay? All need to come to a place where you're born again so that we can relate to God. sinful man is fallen. If we relate the human being's fallenness to Satan, Satan was created as an angel before God. Satan fell. He became a fallen being. He didn't disappear out of creation. He still exists in the form that he was created. But the relationship between him and God got broken. He got separated. So it's still the same being, but a fallen being. So we still look like God created us. But we must realize that before we meet with Jesus, before we surrender our lives, we are fallen beings. And that fallen being need to be changed. Now we come to salvation and our spirits are made alive. And now, like in my case, I lived 24 years before I met the Lord Jesus. And before that, my parents lived and my grandparents lived. There's things that I've inherited and received through my culture, and all that is pressed into that 24 years and into my being. And now I get born again, and God makes my spirit to live again, which was fallen, separated from him. And now the process starts of my spirit, my soul, and my body being saved. And now lots of things happen in our lives, and we make choices, and we experience stuff, and that's all a process. Process of choosing life. Choosing to walk in the Spirit. If we surrender to the grace of God and say, Lord, I want to follow you. Lord, my heart is after you. I want to know your ways. Holy Spirit, show me the truth. Lead me. Then you're in a safe place and the process will start. In Genesis 6, verses 3, it said, "And the Lord said, my spirit shall not strive with man forever, for he is indeed flesh." Fallen man is flesh. Interesting, that scripture. I always thought that scripture, it says that my spirit will not forever strive with man for his flesh. And from this time on, he will live 120 years. And I always thought that scripture related to how long those generations would end up living. But it was actually an amazing message of grace to humanity, because God stepped in and said, listen, sin has entered the world. Things is in such a bad state that my spirit can't be here forever. In 120 years' time, this creation will be wiped by a massive flood. And he actually gave humanity 120 years to repent, to change, to say, God, we have walked according to the flesh and not according to your spirit. Please save us. And I believe if there was repentance and change, things would have been different. Anyway, fallen man is flesh, like that scripture says. And there's the spirit, like I said, still exists in man. But he was separated from God. His spirit is dead. Why? Because he cannot commune with God anymore. He cannot walk with God in the garden and talk to him. Adam fell from somebody that ruled and reigned to somebody that hid from God. He went and hid himself. Because his spirit, God created him, spirit, soul, and body, but his spirit, the way he related and interacted with God, was dead. So he couldn't walk in the predestined calling that God had for him. And my message this morning is that God has got that calling for each and every one of us, that we through his grace will reign and will rule. But it's a process, and we need to look at the whole being. It's amazing when God starts to operate in us, work in us, after our salvation, after the rebirth, he starts from the inside out. He starts with our spirits. Like I said, when you get to know the Lord, you focus on things spiritual. The Lord starts in the spirit, and through his working in your spirit, things will sort out in your soul and in your flesh. From the inside out. The devil, he will operate in a different way. He will start on the outside and with the aim of your spirit. He wants to see a spirit that's corrupted and that's broken down. But he will start with the flesh, lead to the soul with the spirit in mind. It's just interesting to see the difference in that. Ezekiel 36, verses 26 and 7. I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you. I will take the heart of stone out of your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes. John 3, verses 6. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the spirit is spirit. Okay, so we see the clear difference. There's a reality of flesh in our lives, and there's a reality of spirit in our lives. Romans 8 verse 16 says, the Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. Just a confirmation of how God works. His Spirit bears witness with our spirit that we are the Son of God. If you look to the... I went to look in the scriptures just how this Holy Spirit leads, how he operates. It's interesting to the Noah in the ark. Okay, the dove is the image of the Holy Spirit. He sent out the dove to go and look for new life after the destruction of the old. Go out and search for new life, and the dove returned nothing. And then the dove went out again. When he found new life, he didn't return. New life. The Holy Spirit is always looking for new life. He wants to bring new life to us. If we look at the in the temple, how they worship, the people of God worship. There was the outer court, the inner court, the holy place, and then the most holy place. And that relates the inner court, the holy place, and the most holy place relates to that flesh and soul and spirit. Okay? In the inner court, it relates to our flesh. The holy place relates to our soul, closer to it. But then if we get to the Holy of Holies, that's where God connects with our spirit. Now, just back to our walk with the Lord in Romans 8, verses 1. I want to read that scripture again, but in the Amplified version. Therefore, there is now no condemnation, no adjudging guilty or wrong for those who are in Christ Jesus, who live and walk not according to the dictates of the flesh, but after the dictates of the Spirit. No condemnation, no adjudging guilty or wrong for those who are in Christ Jesus. So if we're in that place, if we choose to be there, there's grace, there's mercy, there's forgiveness, there's life. Okay, but we all know that's not always the case in our lives. If we look at the soul now, specifically, we look at the spirit. Now we just want to look at the soul. Basic definition of the soul in Jeremiah 17, verses 9 and 10. Scripture read, the heart relating to soul is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Speaking of the fallen soul, the soul is deceitful above all things, desperately wicked. It doesn't sound good. Lord, does that live in me? My soul, desperately wicked. The soul is a powerful part of our being. Peter encountered his soul, loving Jesus, following him, doing what he says. But at a stage, he decided to entertain the soul, listen to the soul, and then he turned from the way that the Lord had for him. He said, he denied Christ. Judas, somebody that lived with Jesus, at a certain time entertained the soul, removed him. Ananias and Sapphira, lots of examples in the Bible of people coming to grips or coming in contact with the reality of the soul and the power it has in our lives. What impacts the soul? Thoughts, knowledge, things you shouldn't know, things that you know that get warped, imagination, emotions, sensation or pleasure, desires, impacts on the soul. If we look at a few of these at exposure, what do we expose ourselves to? 1 John 2 verses 15 to 17 read, do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world is passing away, and the lusts of it. But he who does the will of God abides forever. What we expose ourselves to is so critical in our walk with the Lord, in our building our spirit, building our soul, restoring. Does what we expose ourselves to, does it build? Does it restore? Or does it hamper life? Does it distort? What we talk about. James 1:26, if anyone among you thinks he is religious and does not bridle his tongue but deceives his own heart, this one's religion is useless. Just in it, sounds heavy, but I just think we all know spiritual gossip. We all know that, have you seen him or her? Oh, amazing woman. But do you know what happened? I don't know. You all know the conversation that we sometimes fall into. We might find ourselves slandering somebody, talking negatively about somebody. What we meditate on, Philippians 4 verses 8. Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of a good report, if these are any virtue and if there's anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. Meditate on them. I looked at the newspaper, the front cover of the newspaper yesterday, and that's reality. That's where we live. But I don't want to bring that newspaper into my home for my children to read or to see. The political situation in South Africa is reality. It is there. But what do we meditate on? What do we sit down and chat about and explore and dive into? And it gets you negative and then you get going. What do we talk about? What do we meditate on? What do we spend our time on? The economic situation in South Africa and all the corruption and everything. There's lots that can get us going. What does that do to your soul? Morena spoke about parenting course. In raising your kids, sometimes you're challenged in situations. Where do you go to? Do you go follow the soul? There's lots of stuff in South Africa that we can meditate and spend our time on. But does it build? Does it encourage? Psalm 23 that was quoted this morning. The Lord leads me to a place where he restores my soul. Do we choose to go there? Or do we choose to expose ourselves to something that doesn't? The experience I had a few weeks ago is just start off where before I knew the Lord, I was a sinner. I knew living by the leading of the soul and the flesh. I knew how to indulge in the lust of the eyes, the lust of the pride of life, all those things. I knew it, very in touch with it. And when I got saved, the Lord had made me lists, situations, and especially people's names, especially lady names. And I had to phone or write or just repent. Say, Lord, please forgive me, remove this, save me from it. And a while ago, I was in the situation where I walked across the road to speak to a friend that was with me at school 20 years ago. And I said, hi, how are you doing, Peter? Oh, doing great. And a lady walked up and said, she introduced herself as his wife. Hi, I'm Sally, how are you doing? Very excited to see me. And I said, but do I know you? And she was kind of offended and said, don't you remember? Don't you know? And then my soul came to life. It hit me like a sledgehammer, dwang, between the head. And I quickly ended the conversation and turned away and I was off. And this was actually in a situation on my way to go with a group of the pastors to go and visit another church. Away from my wife, who I've been happily married to for 14 years. Three beautiful children. Everything the Lord has really blessed and changed my life. He's blessed me. And in this situation, I got hit with somebody that wasn't on the list. Who didn't get ticked off. And I can't even remember if I ever held her hand. Even if we went out on a date, my sister said we did, but I couldn't remember it. But the power of this, 16 years ago, when I looked into this woman's eyes, something that was buried for all those years. Remember we said the heart is deceitful above all things, desperately wicked. I experienced that. Deceiving, hiding something. And at the right time, when you're vulnerable, he brings it up. Confronts you with the situation. And I believe many a man has fallen because of that. Many people can then just make the if you don't know the grace of God, make the wrong decision and end up where you don't want to go. The power of the soul, a reality. By the grace of God, I've got friends. So I could go to Hercules and say, Hercules, I've never experienced this before. We need to pray together. We need to sort this out. But between the conversation and Hercules, thoughts that I would never come up myself. Things, just the reality of the soul not being saved. Jesus, not being at the place when Jesus returns. Still needing of salvation and redemption. Still needing the blood of Jesus. Areas of my soul still very alive. How are we supposed to feed our souls? Romans 12, verses 1 and 2. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God. A sacrifice is something that is dead. Okay, we're not dead, but we want to be dead. You want to be a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, the renewing of the soul. We need to be renewed throughout, that you may prove what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. If our minds, if our souls are renewed, We will come to the perfect will of God. We will know what it is. What can we do about this soul? Like I said, the soul was created by God. It's not evil, but it needs redemption. In my life, because I needed a lot of salvation and restoration in this area, the Lord showed me a few scriptures in my walk with Him, and this is one of the beautiful ones. What can we do about this soul of ours? I believe the fallen part of it, we can starve. Proverbs 22, verses 3. A prudent man foresees evil and hides himself, but the simple pass on and are punished. Times in my life, when I read this scripture for the first time, I was in a place where I had to choose between soul and spirit. And by the grace of God, the scripture came up and said, listen, a prudent man, if you want it to be prudent now, you better go and hide yourself. Because if you walk into this, if you choose to walk into this by the soul, you will be punished. And that's it. I've loved the Lord. Just a little everyday situation. And the scripture is so powerful. Just took me to a place. The scripture says, the name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run into it. And they're safe. Even though we reign, even though we rule, even though we are kings and priests unto our God, there will come times in your life when you need to hide, when you need to run. A prudent man foresees evil and hides himself. Romans 6, 13 and 14. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under law, but under grace. We not only need to be in a place of safety, but we need to grow to the place where we actually rule over our spirits, over our souls, by our spirit. We need to rule. And then Romans 5, 17. For if by one man's offense death reigned through the one, much more those who receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness will reign in life through the one, Jesus Christ. So it's a process where you run, and you often run, daily run into a place of safety until you get to know the faithfulness and the power of God and the power of the Spirit. Then you start to rule. You're like David says, soul, be still and know that He's God. You start to rule over your soul till you come to a place where God entrusts you to actually reign. For if by the one man's offense death reigned through the one, much more those who received abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness will reign in life. God wants us to reign in this life, to reign over your flesh, over your soul, over your spirit. And we're talking about grace and great grace, and I believe it's a season where when you run, you will find grace, great grace. When you go and hide yourself, when you ask the Lord for leading and revelation, it'll be there. The second thing we can do is we can come in the opposite spirit. Psalm 103, verses 1. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless His holy name. We are caught up in a situation. We are at a place where you need to choose. We can choose to come and say, speak to your soul. Come in the opposite spirit and say, bless the Lord, O my soul. In this situation, you are going to bless. You're going to choose life and not death. John 8, verses 11. And Jesus said to her, neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more. Now, we all know this, the story about the lady. And it's not only Jesus that comes into the opposite spirit and doesn't condemn, but He challenges this lady actually also to come into the opposite spirit. Go and sin no more. Go and do exactly the opposite to what you've been doing. You've been operating in the flesh now, been led by your soul. Now I charge you, go and walk in the Spirit, and you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. And there's many of us that the Lord says that to today. in your situation, he wants to speak to you like that. Go and sin no more. That thought, don't do it. Don't go there. Your eyes, consecrate them to me so that your thoughts can be consecrated, so that your actions can be holy. Romans 5:17 we read about reading. So for somebody like me, who walked for a number of years in the flesh, Scripture says, I can't recall if you read it, if you sow in the flesh, you will reap the flesh. If you sow in the Spirit, you will reap everlasting life. Many of us has walked for years and you did not sow in the Spirit, but in the flesh. So is there healing? Is there hope? Yes, especially in this time. And in Psalms 103, if we just continue reading there from verse 2. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. I believe David is speaking to his soul and his experience of just being human. Bless the Lord and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your iniquities, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from destruction, who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfies your mouth with good things, so that your youth is renewed like the eagle. Many of the things that we address today, what we think about, what we talk about, what we entertain, David deals with here. He crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies. He satisfies your mouth with good things. Doesn't matter where you were. If you were the prodigal son in the soul, doesn't matter where you went to, what decisions you made. If we turn, then like David, we can find that there's mercy, that there's grace, and that the Lord does not only forgive, but that he restores, that he builds again. We're going to have communion today. Let's ask the ushers maybe to hand that out, and if the worship team can come onto stage. I want to read, just while they come up and the communion is handed out, I just want to read the scripture in 1 John 1, verse 7. If we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin. We asked, how can we do it? And this is it. The blood of Jesus cleanses. But we need to walk in the light. You need to have a brother or a sister. You need to have a family member. You need to go to your cell group. And just be real about where you are at. You need to phone somebody or SMS. And say, I'm hiding now. Please cover me. I'm running now, Lord, into your strong tower. Protect me. But Lord, not only do that, but show me your way so that I can be more than an overcomer, so that you can bring me to a place where I can actually rule in this life. Lord, where I can take this brokenness, the wrong decisions, where I've received life through that by your grace, that I can actually impart that. That I can share that. Give it to somebody, Lord. We have fellowship with one another if we walk in the light as he is in the light. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin. Okay, ushers, are they ready? If you guys can maybe just play the song, and we'll continue just now. In this process of following Jesus, being obedient to the will in his life, all of us will grow in this salvation. We'll grow in these different areas of our lives. And today is just the opportunity to come to the Lord and say, Lord, but I want to experience you. Not only from a place where it's my soul. Lord, I've been following you, looking for you, Lord. But in experiences, in your word. But it was soulish. Lord, this morning I want to know. I want the Holy Spirit to reveal Jesus to me. I want to know him by his Spirit. This morning you might be at a place where you're in a valley of decision, where you know you foresee evil. And this morning you can choose to go and hide, to run. The blood of Jesus this morning, his broken body is there for us. If you're challenged by this thing in the Bible that calls us into fellowship and even into living in the light, there's grace for us. The Lord won't expose you. If we put your trust in him, he will never put us to shame. But he wants us to walk in the light. He wants us to experience the power of that, the liberty that it brings. And if you're in a position where you already rule or you reign, but you just need encouragement to stand the ground that the Lord has given you and to go to the next level. I want us this morning, as we take the bread and the wine together, just bring whatever the Lord has put on your heart before him. And in covenant, we believe that there's the provision that God has made on the cross is sufficient for whoever you are, wherever you are, in your relationship with him. If we look to him, if we turn to him, we will find grace. We will find power to change. We will find life. Just bring it to him this morning as we have communion together. I just want to read us that scripture again, Romans 5, verses 17. For if by the one man's offense death reigned through the one, how much more those who receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness will reign in life through the one Jesus Christ. We are called to rule and to reign. And you know where you are in your walk with the Lord. And if you're not there this morning, today can be the door you can walk through into that authority, into that liberty, through the blood of Jesus. His grace is sufficient. I just want to read us a beautiful part of that psalm again. Psalm 103. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within thee. Bless his holy name. Forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your iniquities, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from destruction and crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfies your mouth with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. And many of us, like in my case, in your youth, you choose wrong. You choose to live by the soul and not the spirit. But if we come back to him, he will renew. He will renew your youth like the eagles. He will lift you up. Let's all just stand together as we take the bread and wine.